Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Good day and welcome back for another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. And today we will be continuing our discussion of my new book that you can download, Creating the Dental Practice Pivot. And over the last few episodes, we've talked about kind of the overall why it's important to do a practice pivot. We've talked about the business mindset of things. And what I want to do now is move into the last section of it. And that's about creating clinical diversity. I'm joined again by Hope. And today, Hope is going to help us walk through creating clinical diversity in your practice.
Great. We, as a quick recap, the first keys all had to do with the practice side of your business. Key number one was in making a dental practice pivot, you need to understand the three components of your practice. Number two was to help you find what's hidden, like the value that's already hidden in your current practice. Three is to create a system of firm financial arrangements. And then four, you talked about the importance of categorizing patients into the three different categories.
Yeah, three different treatment categories. Absolutely.
And so now we're off to the part that you said most dentists
Their ears should be perking up now.
This is the part that makes it is their happy place, right. I guess. So let's talk about practice, the clinical side, and key number five to making that practice pivot is to increase revenue by filing medical insurance. Yeah.
So thank you, Hope. So let's talk about it. So ultimately, our number one challenge is we want to grow and increase revenue. Mm-hmm. Okay. So to me, there are several ways of increasing revenue. We can see more patients, we can do higher ticket dentistry, or we can get paid better for what we're doing, okay? And the best of those, in my opinion, is getting paid better for what you're doing, because it doesn't require you to do any more work.
Right.
It doesn't require you to see any more patients. You're just getting paid more for what you're doing. And the challenge we face in that is 80 or 90% of practices are insurance practices. In other words, they participate in network with any of the number of the terrible insurance companies out there, okay?
Right.
And they limit or set what our fees are going to be.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that I learned probably about 4 or 5 years ago was using medical insurance in a dental practice. And quite frankly, it never even occurred to me. And when it did occur to me, I was told that it doesn't work or it's a lot of work, but being the person that says, you know, let me see for myself, what I have found is part of what they're saying is absolutely correct, but it's not completely correct. It actually does work. And so what I want to say on a few points here is why do we need medical insurance in the practice, or why should you do it, is one, you're going to get paid better.
Okay.
For the procedures you're already doing. And two, you're going to get paid for the procedures you're doing for free. And three, you're going to leave more money on the dental insurance for your patients to use their dental insurance for more dental things. So let me give an example of each one.
Okay.
So leaving money on dental insurance. The easiest thing there is exams. So in dental insurance, we're allowed to have 2 exams per year for our patients. And each of those exams, whether they pay $30, $50, whatever it is, eats off of their maximum amount, the $1,000 or $1,500, mm-hmm. leaving less each year for the patient to have towards other dentistry.
Right.
If we can offset that by shifting or pivoting our billing to medical insurance for those exams, we can now leave those exams, that money that was paid for the exams on dental insurance for the patient to use that towards the fillings or crowns or whatever it is.
Right.
Okay. The second side of that is on the increase in revenue. Typically, medical insurance will have higher reimbursements for exams than dental insurance.
Okay.
Now, I do want to make a statement about medical insurance here, and I should have said it up front. Medical insurance varies from plan to plan, state to state. Results will vary from area to area, the company mix that you have, all of these things, the state and the rules of that state, and whether you're in network and out of network. Just like it varies on dental insurance, those things are still there for medical insurance. Okay, but an exam, for example, in the state of North Carolina, when I submit a exam to dental insurance for a new patient, my typical reimbursement is $40 to $60.
Okay.
Now, when I send that same exam to medical insurance, my reimbursement varies from $110 to $180.
Wow.
So it's double or triple.
Right.
Okay, our reimbursement. And so not only are we leaving money in play for dental insurance, we're increasing our revenue for ourselves for the same exam. Now let's use exams as the third part of that, and that is things that we do for free. Okay, so I can't speak to everybody on this, but if you're anything like me, you're oftentimes seeing a lot of your patients at no charge. So, you know, again, dental insurance allows 2 exams per year. If a patient comes in for a toothache or something, typically, we don't charge them the exam fee for that. We take care of it as complimentary for them. But that's an exam that we could have billed to medical insurance, because medical insurance doesn't have a limitation frequency of how many exams you can do per year.
Right. So follow-up, that kind of thing follow-ups, you tend to do without charging.
Exams beyond the 2 per year that dental insurance allows or covers, we can still bill those to medical insurance. So just using exams as an example, this, quite frankly, the thing that we do the most of in our practice.
Right.
We literally do thousands of exams a year in our practice. that allows us to understand how medical insurance can change the game there.
Wow. Okay. Just that one component.
Yeah. And then there's so much more to medical insurance. Okay.
Right.
The advice I would give to people that are that have heard that medical insurance doesn't work or whatever it may be is we're often taught or we're often thinking to focus on the fancy procedures to bill to medical insurance. And to me, the real value is using medical insurance to pay for a lot of the everyday procedures. And the other thing that happens when you focus that way is when you do the everyday procedures on medical insurance, what happens is you learn how to bill the more fancy procedures a little bit better.
That's great.
Does that make sense?
It does. Okay. It does. And so why do you think dentists have not embraced this?
Well, we weren't taught it.
Okay. So it's just a lack of it, of knowledge or education.
We're taught that the medical system is broken.
Okay.
So why would we want to get into that?
Okay.
And there's some there's some credence there. But I think more, I think it's more that we simply hear what we want to hear from people.
Right.
And when somebody says it doesn't work, we totally dismiss the idea.
And I know later you're going to go into this in depth in one of
future
your
podcast
issues. So, but just as one of the keys, you want to know that you can increase revenue by filing medical insurance is key number 5.
That's correct.
Let's go on to key number 6. And it's all about implementing dental sleep medicine for, which is a big win for you and for your patients. I know you're super passionate about this. Let's talk a little bit about why this brings you joy, okay, and how it can impact the bottom line, yeah, for dentists.
So, you know, dental sleep medicine, first and foremost, let's kind of look at it this way. For the next few keys, what, mm-hmm, we're going to talk about are what I call practice differentiators.
Okay.
Okay. And medical insurance is the same thing. All of this is about creating clinical diversity and setting your practice apart and gaining your competitive edge. Really what we're trying to do is we're trying to separate ourselves from people, mm-hmm, okay? So if there's 50 or 100 dentists in your area, all 50 of them do exams. All 50 of them do hygiene services. All 50 of them do fillings. All 50 of them do crowns. All 50 of them may do extractions. All 50 of them, or a large majority of them, do root canals. Mm-hmm. But what really has to happen is you need to offer services that significant number of people aren't offering. Okay. The easiest path to growth is to go into a market that exists and is underserved.
Right.
Okay. And sleep apnea, dental sleep medicine, is by far the largest and easiest market where those two things exist, where it's definitely available and it's underserved.
Right.
Okay. So sleep apnea was important to me because of me. I'm a severe sleep apneic. My wife kicks me out of the room half the time because of snoring. She put me onto a CPAP. I hated it. Mm-hmm. Disliked cleaning it. Disliked the, mm-hmm, line I had in my face. All of those things.
Right.
And then I went to a seminar one day and somebody was talking about oral appliances. Yeah. And I said, why did my physician or my sleep, mm-hmm, physician, why hasn't anybody ever given me this choice? So I've made it part of my mission in our practice to make sure that our public is aware that not that oral appliance is the choice or the only choice or even the best choice, that it's a choice.
Right.
Okay. And the truth is a significant number of our patients suffer from sleep disturbances, and it's a significant number of them can help. Need help with sleep apnea, and it's a new revenue source for you. It it pays pretty well. It leverages medical insurance, so it's minimal out of your pocket, mm-hmm, for your patients oftentimes. And to what I really love about sleep beyond the patient reaction, mm-hmm, is that it's a team driven procedure. It is something that requires a minimal amount of my time and really allows my team to grow and to champion something and for them to have something that they can own and grow, right, with the practice.
So you've given them the opportunity to take leadership and to own this area of practice, which means they're more engaged, they're happier financially, yeah, they're rewarded. Yeah. And then your patients are, you said they're hugging you,
oh,
they're
their,
yeah, partners are thanking you because their lives are changed.
Yeah, and you know, we all have different levels of patient comfort, correct? So we have some patients that'll just not say much, but you can see that they're happier. Some patients will tell you they're happy. Some patients will thank you for marital help in a way. And then some patients will be a little inappropriate with you and tell you more specific
about
that stuff,
you know.
But the consistent part of that is not a single patient has ever come to me from a sleep perspective, mm-hmm, and said, oh, I wish I never did this.
Wow.
Or I hate going to the dentist.
Right.
Or any of those things. And that wears on you after a while.
Yeah.
It really does.
So that really compels you to be proactive, yeah, and allow, give this as an option because,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah, the it's life. A win, it's win, win, win.
I love it.
The patient wins, mm-hmm, the practice wins as a doctor, and the team wins as a new area for them to create growth in their life.
That's great.
It's unbelievable.
That's so amazing. Yeah. So to recap, key five is to increase revenue by filing medical insurance. Yeah. And key six is to implement dental sleep medicine because that's a big win for your patient and for you and for your bottom line.
Yeah.
And then key seven is discover the untapped market by utilizing implant dentistry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the number of teeth removed, yeah, how many are replaced, and just what a large, yeah, potential there is.
So again, it comes back to the concept of, is there a need and, mm-hmm, is it being underserved?
Right.
Okay. And can we do it differently and better and succeed at it?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the challenge. The challenge is the vast majority of us, and meaning 98% of us, were not trained about dental implants in dental school.
Wow.
Okay. So it's an advanced level procedure. Mm-hmm. And it can even be an emotional level procedure. But the challenge is it fits outside of our comfort zone.
Okay.
Okay. So step one is you got to decide that you want to learn about implant dentistry. take some training online, live in person, didactic training, go to another country, go to an office, go to your local surgeon's office, mm-hmm. just get trained, buy a book, come to our training class, whatever it is that you want to do, mm-hmm. get some implant training. Okay. Step two is you got to implement this into your practice. And part of implementing it is understanding the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity is this: rough numbers here. We take out about 40 million teeth a year in the United States of America. We place about 2 million implants a year. So that means only 5% of extracted teeth become implants. And that means there's 95% opportunity. And if you go back to episode one or two, I believe it was, where I talk about the power of 5%.
Right.
If you just get into the habit of giving every patient a chance to say yes to the best, you'll by attrition get 5% case acceptance, and you'll do more than you expected to do. And dental implants are a great revenue increaser. It's a great way to cut down the number of patients you see, because mm-hmm. instead of, I'll give you the example, you know, an average implant from start to finish for a general dentist, and that's the advantage general dentists have, is we can place and restore. Okay. So we don't, you know, a specialist can only place, and then we were left with what they did to restore it, and we had to deal with whatever they did, a good or bad job, okay, or a good or not so good job. But as general dentists, we can place and restore, and today's technology makes it honestly pretty easy. Yeah. And so to use my example on this is, we get in our practice roughly $3,000, a little bit more, but let's use $3,000 start to finish, a very fair price. For the consumer, it's very affordable for an implant from start to finish. And it takes me about an hour and a half of chair time, start to finish, all included, including restoring it, the placing it, planning it, the whole deal, about an hour and a half of chair time. And so that gives me $3,000 in revenue in an hour and a half. And what I say to dentists is, how many crowns or how many fillings would you have to do to reproduce that $3,000 in revenue? And how long would it take you to do that? Wow. So again, it comes back to the overlying principle, which is work smarter, not harder, see less patients, increase revenue, have more flexibility in your life. And dental implants is another part of that. So to build back on my dad's lesson, that we're not trying to look for one thing that creates prosperity, we're looking for several, not a ton, but several things that each create components of prosperity, so that we can be diverse and be somewhat recession-proof in our practice and create sustainability.
Great. So the ways to recap, five, six, and seven ways to do that are filing medical insurance, through sleep medicine, and through embracing implants.
Yeah, dental implants.
Dental absolutely. Implants. So those are just practical ways. And like you said, rather than going to move the needle in a huge way with one change in your practice, mm-hmm. the best way to pivot your practice is to institute diversity and a variety of procedures and changes in your practice, and you will incrementally, one upon the other, build, and you'll increase revenue and gain more flexibility.
And if we don't mind, Hope, I'd like to take a moment to talk about flexibility a little
bit.
Okay. So one of the things that's going to be key in doing these things, okay, mm-hmm. and the question is it the cart before the horse or the horse before the cart, okay? And there's no right answer on this,
okay?
It depends on your personality and your makeup here. But to do sleep medicine, to do more implants, mm-hmm. you've got to have time. Okay. So part of the key in all of this is we want to go from building a dental mm-hmm. practice to building a dental business. We want you to bring in an associate. We want you to bring in a partner maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that you can buy or create margin in your life. So as the senior or the owner dentist, you can pick and choose. Again, the advanced dentistry, emotional dentistry from your pot of general dentistry, you can pick and choose and have the time and the bandwidth to actually implement these things. And so, and then when we brought an associate to our practice, who's soon going to become partner, hopefully, it created even mm-hmm. more. It's just this snowball effect. It's not any, back to the magic bullet thing.
Right.
It's not any one thing that does this. It is little by little by little. And next thing you know, you're like, holy smokes, my practice is transformed.
Right.
And I'm happier.
Well, and that's what you said in episode one or two. You talked about the general dentistry still remaining that 70%. But as you grow and allow, learn, and offer more different procedures, there's no way to clone yourself. There's no way for you to do that. So you bring someone.
I don't want
to
work more.
No.
In fact, I want to do the opposite.
Right. And that's what you're doing. You're able to work less, make more money, bring someone on board to help maintain that general dentistry, which keeps the stream of patients that you need so that you can then go to advanced and to emotional. Yeah. So it's a beautiful system. So key number eight is embrace orthodontics, why it's important to give your patients what they want.
Yeah. So, you know, again, the theme here is going beyond dental school dentistry. We didn't learn medical insurance there. We didn't learn dental sleep medicine. We didn't learn dental implants, and we certainly didn't learn orthodontics. Mm-hmm. And technology is the great equalizer. It makes things more attainable. And today, technology is there that general dentists can pick and choose and do orthodontic cases. I'm not saying become an orthodontist. Okay, I'm saying pick and choose and do the cases that fit within your practice and leverage invisible, clear aligner therapy, whether that's Invisalign or any of the other brands out there. Invisalign happens to be the one that we currently use at this time because they've created a brand name. Hmm. So let's leverage their millions in marketing and offer those services. So again, I'm going to come back to the hidden potential in your practice, the power of 5%, those 1,500 or 2,000 patients that you have in your practice. And if we say you have 2,000 active patients in your practice, what percentage of those patients have minorly crooked teeth or crooked teeth? And the answer is going to be, again, a third of them.
Right.
Okay. So now suddenly we have 600 or 700 opportunities within our practice. Mm-hmm. If we get 5% to say yes a year, suddenly we're doing 20 or 30 orthodontic cases with an average revenue of $4,000 to $5,000. Boom, there we go. Another $100,000 in revenue. And again, less patients you got to see, less people you got to see, another area for you to build your practice to now be able to afford to bring in the associate or partner in your practice, to be able to offer extended hours, all of these different things that you want to do. And again, with invisible orthodontics, the other advantage there, it's again, it's a very much a team-driven procedure. Mm-hmm. So it takes minimal amount of your time. You still got to oversee it. You got to understand it, all of those things. It's not as easy as taking an impression and sending it to them, but there's so much opportunity there.
That's great.
It's about growing your practice. It's little by little, piece by piece, pivoting your practice to something that you want to do.
Wow, that's great. So you're not only serving your bottom line, you're serving your team by giving them opportunities to take leadership, and you're serving your current patients who have the desire for this, and because they already know you, have a relationship with you and trust you, when you offer them this, it's easy for them to say yes.
I always say, let's focus, your patients know, love, and trust you.
Right.
Why would you not leverage that?
Right.
And they don't want to go anywhere else.
No, it's a disservice, actually, if you're not.
You make it inconvenient for them.
Right.
It's more expensive. You can let me. It's win-win-win all the way around.
Right. That's great. Yeah. So that's step number eight, is embracing orthodontics. And then key number nine is oral conscious sedation. Yeah. And that has a lot to do with helping patients say yes.
Yes. So, you know, I have a hard time saying sedation is clinical to a certain degree, because I think of sedation more to a certain degree as business part of it, but it's clinical because we have to learn it, we have to do it, all of these things. But sedation really is the part that kind of ties things together, okay? It is oftentimes, quite frankly, I think it might be the missing piece in a lot of practices. And so let me explain what I mean by that. Our patients don't say yes to treatment due to time, money, and fear.
Right.
Okay. And it's probably time, fear, and money. And it's probably fear a little bit higher than all of them, right?
Right.
Okay. So what can we do to make patients less fearful? So again, we can tap into a market that's underserved. Mm-hmm. We can have another service that we provide that a majority or vast majority of people around you, your quote unquote competition, aren't doing. Okay. And how can we make it that it's actually funner to work on patients? Patients that are sleeping and not wiggling around and not looking at their clock, not worried about how long you're going to do a hygiene check. Those patients love it.
Right.
You know, you love it. And then to build on it for the practice side of it, what sedation has allowed us to do in our practice is we can do more dentistry on people. Because people can't sit there for 2, 3, 4 hours awake getting dentistry done. Some can. Most don't want to. If you gave them a choice, none of them would say, I prefer that.
Right.
No one would say, I prefer to be awake for 4 hours to get dentistry done. No one.
Right.
Okay. So it allows you to do more dentistry on your patients. It allows you to serve an underserved population, the people that aren't going. And number three, it allows you to really build your surgical side of your practice. People have an innate fear about having the word surgery done. Okay. Right. And while I don't consider single tooth implants surgery, okay, it's in their patient's mind.
The fear
it's a fear.
Right.
So we can offer sedation to overcome that fear. And one thing, one key point I would make to those that are already doing sedation is don't wait for the patient to ask. Make it a part of your offering. Okay. So one of the best things I did was I stopped making sedation optional sometimes. I started telling patients this type of procedure requires sedation.
Right.
Whether we charge or don't charge or any of those things, I kind of put the money to the side for a second and I focus on what makes me happy and enjoyable.
Right.
And then it becomes more justifiable to you.
Right.
And oral conscious sedation is unbelievably safe. Dr. Brian McGrew teaches our oral conscious sedation class at 3D Dentist. Fantastic dentist. Makes learning sedation a little bit of a boring topic, but he makes it pretty fun. And it can be a game changer for your practice. And it's one more thing. And the beauty of sedation. So here's, I want to wrap it up with this on the sedation part. You may say, I don't want to do sleep apnea. You may say, I don't want to do implants. You may say, I don't want to do ortho. You may say, I don't want to do medical insurance. You should never say you don't want to make your patients more comfortable and have a service there. So even if you are a restorative dentist that's busy and loving that, offer sedation to your patients and you'll do more restorative dentistry on your patient because you'll do more at one time and you and your patient will have a better experience in your practice. Okay. Sedation is a universal, whether you're pivoting your practice or not. It is the one program that I think that nearly every dentist should be providing.
That's a great summary of the fact that it just undergirds the more advanced and cosmetic procedures, but for any general dentist who can benefit because there's no doubt there's fearful patients, there's patients who you could help have a happier experience and be able to say yes to more things if you allow that as an option.
It's the name of the game, right?
That's right.
You know, the name of the game is number one, the real boss in any practice is the patient.
Right.
Our number one boss is the patient.
Right.
They're our consumer.
Right.
And we should do everything we should do should be based around making sure that we take care of our consumer that fits within the culture of the human being.
So in order to grow your practice, your revenue, to gain a competitive advantage, and to gain more freedom or flexibility in your life, you've laid out 9 steps.
Yeah.
And today we covered those that deal with your the clinical side of your practice. We talked about oral sedation. We talked about orthodontics. We talked about sleep apnea or dental sleep medicine. We talked about medical billing. If a dentist is willing to take a moment of self-reflection and think about ways to actually change their life, their lifestyle, their family, and their practice, why would you say it's important for them to embrace this pivot?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, I always start off by saying that no one needs, very few people in the dental industry need change.
Okay.
Nobody needs it.
Because you're living it.
We're living it.
Right.
Every one of you listen to the podcast. The vast majority of you had a choice of cars. Okay. You had a choice of clothes. You don't struggle to put food on your table. You don't struggle to have a home or a place to live. Okay. So no one really needs change that's listening to this mm-hmm. podcast. We may have struggles in our lives. There may be times we have ups and downs, but no one really needs change. I think that's the first thing that people truly have to recognize. You don't need this. Okay. You have to want this.
Right.
Okay. And I believe you have to have won it for one of three reasons or multiple of three reasons. Okay. And that is you want to earn more. You want to make more money. You want to have more time off to do nothing, to enjoy it with your family, to find a new family, whatever it is that you want time off for, or you just want to reignite a passion mm-hmm. for your profession and you want to have satisfaction. So I believe it's money, time, and satisfaction. And if you want more of any of those things, creating a practice pivot is a solution and a path, a proven path that can get you all three of those things. And very rarely are there things or processes that we can do that can help us achieve all three. And that's really the thing that I didn't set out to do, didn't go into it with the plan. But when I came out this end, I looked back and reflected and I said, wow.
Right. So your heart really is to guide Dennis through the pivot that you've made over time. Yeah. And by allowing you to guide them, you're helping them, you're shortening the process, yeah. hopefully removing some of the obstacles, making the transition faster with
it was a 10-year overnight success right. for me.
So you're willing to help them have a real yeah. overnight
and
success.
And it doesn't need to take them 10 years.
Right.
I firmly believe a true practice pivot, you can see good results in 9 to 12 months.
That's great.
Okay. You can see true progress in the 9 to 12 months. Now I want to be clear about this. A pivot does not happen overnight. Mm-hmm.
You okay? said in the beginning of the book, it is not a magic bullet.
It doesn't happen in a year or two. Right. Oftentimes it takes time. And quite frankly, it doesn't ever finish.
Right.
Okay. And I'd like to address one last thing.
Sure.
Okay. I talked about the clinical part of it. Okay. And mm-hmm. I listed specific procedures that we're doing in our practice. Mm-hmm. There are so many other procedures like that out there. Okay. Fundamentally, that's why I listed the business stuff first.
Okay.
If you implement some of the business patient-centric keys, the 1 through 4 that we talked about,
right.
then you can pick and choose what, or add in or subtract what clinical procedures you want because they all fit into the same processes. Right. And that's what's the beauty of this. I didn't set aside to do implants. I didn't set in to do sleep. All of these things were natural progressions that happened for me year over year over year over year. Right. It wasn't like I did all of this at one time.
So it can be an incremental change is what you're saying.
It should be an incremental change. And if you can address
those fundamentals of on the practice side.
Yeah.
And then pick and choose and grow with the clinical side, you can make that pivot.
I think my gift is to help simplify things, mm-hmm. to cut through the BS, okay, and give it to people straight.
Right.
Another gift I have is I can see the potential within people mm-hmm. and what they're capable of. And I have zero issue making people a little uncomfortable and helping them achieve it. Now, some people don't want to achieve it, and that's okay. I fail at this too. Mm-hmm. Okay, I fail at helping other dentists pivot their practice. But I want to help people. We truly have the best profession. It's unbelievable what we can do. And this podcast is living proof of that. This podcast mm-hmm. costs me money to do.
Right.
You know, and even before I had a mastermind program to sell, even before I had classes to really sell, we were doing the podcast, and I've been sharing my entire professional life from my days on Dental Town in 2001 to the advent of social media, mm-hmm. Facebook, Instagram, all of these things. I've always been an open book about sharing. So if you are strapped for money and you say, hey, I don't need all the help, I can do it myself, You can listen to the podcast. You can listen to the videos. You can reach out to me. You can ask questions. I'll help guide you for free.
Right. And you can download the book.
You can download the book.
Which is free.
Which is dentalpracticepivot.com. If you say, hey, I need some help in some specific clinical areas, and I want an implemental action plan to put sleep, dental medicine, medical billing, implants, you can take a one-off workshop. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. But if you say, hey, I want to be all in, I want to really make a transformation, you can join the 3D Mastermind for Practice Pivot, and we can work with you and your team over a period of time. It's not a consulting program. It's not any of those things. We're going to meet together. We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to make each other uncomfortable, and we're going to see each other through the other side. And really, I think that's the next stage of my career, is really helping people get there.
To implement and to make the change.
And more importantly, I get great pleasure in the people I work with and help doing better than me.
That's great.
Great pleasure.
That's wonderful.
You know, because I don't want to be the best.
Right.
I mean, I want to be great and the best at what I do, but I don't believe that my practice is the best.
Right.
I believe that some people can do pretty well, and we do very well in our practice, but we can coach better.
That's great. Right. So, that too. Yeah. When it comes, so you can. There are free resources, the podcast and the book at dentalpracticepivot.com.
Yeah.
There are courses, and you find those at 3ddentist.com. Sign up for those. And then there's a mastermind, but it's limited seating.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
So the mastermind is application number one.
Right.
And then once you apply, and I think you might be a good candidate, you and I will personally get on the phone and talk about it. We'll see where your practice is, if you have the right mindset, you know, all of those things. And then it happens. It's an open close thing.
Right.
Okay. We start the program and then it's done. You can't get in the middle. And then more than likely we'll only have one or two programs a year, and that's it.
So here we are in January. And if you're ready to make 2019 the year of change for you, the year of your pivot, go to 3ddentist.com. There'll be an application and apply to the mastermind. There's no guarantee.
Yep.
And there are limited seats.
That's correct. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I always end every time thanking you for your time. And I got a few things to ask of you. Number one, if you need some help, we're happy to help you, but always get help. Okay. Number two, if you could leave us a review on iTunes so we can increase our standing in iTunes, just like you have to learn to ask your patients for Google reviews, I got to learn to ask you for iTunes reviews. And number three, if you can help spread the word and help grow our reach, I would be eternally grateful. Just like you ask patients to bring you other patients, I'm asking you to bring us other listeners so we can help more dentists love our profession. Thank you again, and make it a great week.